understanding the precession. The best way to understand this 25,000-year cycle is to imagine the Earth as if it were a spinning top. Let's say you have a top that is spinning clockwise at a fast speed. At first, it stands up straight, but then it starts tracing circles in the opposite direction, counterclockwise, as it slows down. Now imagine the Earth is the top. Imagine you can see the Earth's axis as if it were a solid bar running through the north and south poles. Over the course of about 25,920 years, the Earth's axis makes a nice, slow circle in the opposite direction from the Earth's normal rotation, like the circles the top starts making as it winds down. Some ancient myths compare the Earth's axis to a long spoon in a pot of soup. The slow, circular path of the Earth's axis is the stirring of the pot. This visual only works if you keep the bottom of the spoon in one place as you make circles with it. This slow movement of the Earth's axis causes the position of the stars in the night sky during the equinox to shift by 1 degree every 72 years. If you built your church or temple to line up with a certain star during every spring equinox, as many cultures from the Druids at Stonehenge to Anasazis in Arizona did, you'd be pretty unhappy when the stars started drifting away. By the time your grandchildren started growing up, your building would already be noticeably out of alignment. In Western astrology, this master cycle is divided up into 12 ages of the zodiac. Though the Earth changes its speed slightly over time as it moves through this cycle, most astrologers round it off to 50 arc seconds per year. This creates 12 ideal ages of the zodiac at 2,160 years each, adding up to a total of 25,920 years. If you calculate the cycle based on our current speed of 50.3 arc seconds per year, it would come out to 25,675 years. But since it fluctuates, most modern astronomers round it off at about 25,800. The technical name for this cycle is the precession of the equinoxes. The word precession essentially means movement. Remember that Santayana and von Deschenes' book is called Hamlet's Mill? The Hamlet story is one of many ancient myths that describe the axis mundi, the Earth's own axis getting disrupted in its orbital path. The Earth's axis is often described in metaphor as the axle of a mill for grinding corn. In order to build a mill, you have a horizontal wooden rod that runs through the center of a heavy stone wheel. The wooden rod is connected to a central vertical axle. A strong worker then grabs the rod and starts pushing it around in circles. As the heavy stone wheel moves along, it grinds the corn underneath it. Many myths set up a scene like this and then have the axle break. This is believed to represent the Earth shifting on its axis. The myths then feature scenes where destructive Earth changes seem to occur. Dr. Susan Lee, the Physics and Astronomy Department Chair at San Francisco State University, explains the deeper context behind this story, which is much older than the works of William Shakespeare. The Hamlet myth is cosmological and describes the precession of the equinoxes. By the time Shakespeare adapted the story to his purposes, its origin and meaning had lapsed into obscurity. The mill is explained in the Indian Bhagavata Purana, the exalted seat of Vishnu, round which the starry spheres forever wander, like the upright axle of the corn mill. According to Santayana and von Deschenes, all these myths aim to explain precession. The mill represents the rotation of the celestial sphere. The mill axle is the polar axis, and the theme of the breaking of the mill represents the precession. Each age ends with a catastrophic event, frequently involving a flood or water in some way. This is where the Hamlet tragedy fits in. Entire books could be written just on this one subject, and some already have been. One common symbol in these myths is the Earth's axis, or the Axis Mundi. Let's not forget that in Chapter 3, we saw how the Axis Mundi was often symbolized by a stone, such as the primitive mountain, Shiva Lingam, Benben, Omphalos, or Betel. And this symbol was directly associated with the pineal gland. Let's also not forget that the Romans also used tall pyramid shapes to represent the betel on their coins. What we did not discuss in Chapter 3, however, is that many of the Roman betel coins have a vertical axis running right through the center of the pyramid-shaped stone. Although this sacred stone is presumed to be solid, there is something mysterious going on inside. It is as if the outside skin has been rendered open to reveal some sort of structure. Four of the five coins show a pole or strut. The mundane answer to this pole could be, and most likely is, the Axis Mundi. These coins may be telling us something connected with the betel in a mystical way. All of these coins also have the angel on them. This suggests a curious, ongoing fascination in the top levels of the Roman Empire with the movement of the Earth's axis, pyramids, and the pineal gland. If the Romans inherited a greater worldwide secret about the 25,920-year cycle, then they may well have believed there would be direct effects upon human consciousness at the end of the cycle. Let's not forget that in the Egyptian mythologies, the Benben stone is surrounded by two Bennu birds. The Bennu is the phoenix, a bird that undergoes a radical transformation